to Ephesians chapter 2. About 10 after or 15 after, we'll be on our way home. Amen? We'll be out of here. All right. Ephesians chapter number 2. And go ahead and stand with me just for a minute and let's read here a couple verses together. Ephesians 2, 1. And you have quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4 says, but God, you can stop right there, amen, right on that comma. That's a good place to pause. But God, who is rich in mercy, another place to pause. And you see that comma, God says pause there and think about that. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. There you see another comma there, and you pause and thank God for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Another pause. This is one of the longest sentences in the Bible, amen? And it's not a run-on either. The Bible says, which were dead, was quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. I like that parenthesis. We want to get that point in there right now, amen? By grace ye are saved. Verse number 6 says, and hath raised us up together, amen? And I believe this, as our brother said there in Sunday school, one of the great things that's killing the cause of Christ in our day is the lack of understanding that we're in this together. Amen? We really are. I don't think God ever compromised. I don't think God had been one thing to try to fit into this world or try to fit into any group or anybody. But I tell you what, we ought to realize that as Christians, we're together in this thing. Amen? And we're together in the work of Christ. And we're together in getting the job done for the sake of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What are those heavenly places? The heavenly places, someday, of course, going to be heaven. But today, the heavenly places is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to me just for a minute. Those that feel like church is kind of important, but one of the most heavenly places you'll ever be to is a good old-fashioned Bible preaching church. Amen? I wouldn't run around saying I want to go to heaven if I don't want to go to church. Amen? Right. If it's a good church. I don't want to say this talking about going to a religious organization but listen to good gospel music. I wouldn't run around saying, man, I want to go to heaven if I couldn't wait to watch the next television show out of Hollywood, because they ain't going to be there. Amen? The Bible says that in the ages to come, I love verse 7, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Heavenly Father, help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat real quick. It's about the year 373 A.D. About 373 years after the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in Scotland. There was a young man born that soon before he was 20 years old, whether in between the ages of 6 and 16, somewhere in there, he was taken captive by a slave. He was taken into slavery. He was had not a whole lot of a family, and he was taken captive into slavery, and the country to which he was taken to as a slave was the country of Ireland. In Ireland, he was broken and humbled, and whatever pride he might have had, or whatever self-gratification he might have had, he was broken by that. And little by little, and there's no particular place where any particular sermon or any preaching or whatever else. It's amazing how God works. We all want to say, well, how did you get saved? And it's amazing how that God works in ways that none of us can explain. God did it different in your life than what he did it in my life. But the bottom line is, if I'm saved, God did it. Amen? But God began to work in this young man's life while he was a slave in Ireland, a young boy from Scotland. God began to work in his life, and God began to humble him. Let me just say real quickly that before you're ever saved, before you ever serve God, God will have to humble you. Amen. God will have to break you. You have to see yourself as a sinner. You have to see yourself as lost. If you think that your religion or your background or your upbringing, that's good for you. Listen, all we like sheep are going astray. We've turned everyone from his own way. You say, preacher, why do Christians become so unusable? Why has Christianity today in America become so unusable? Why is our nation so dead and so far from Christ? Because we've gotten proud of what we are. We've gotten proud of who we are. I mean, we've forgotten the humility of mind that Christian people are supposed to have. I mean, now we build big buildings and we name ourselves and we get fancy titles and we call ourselves Dr. This and Dr. That. And like old brother Lester Rolloff said, that doctor doesn't mean anything. He said it's like the curl on a pig's tail. He said it won't add one bit more sausage or bacon to the table when you go to eat breakfast. Amen. But listen, but we want to get those titles and we want to walk in a certain way in the pomp and circumstance. You go to some place, and I'm not preaching against that, but maybe I am. You go to places and they're all bust in at the same time. It's like some gods are walking in. Brother, listen. Hey, I like the story years ago about a young preacher. They asked him to preach, and you might forget that 15-minute thing if I ain't careful, but I'm going to try to hold on to that. But listen, they asked these young preachers to preach. Boy, that first young man, he was confident. He had an air of confidence about it. He jumped up. He walked up to the pulpit. Man, listen, his chest stuck out. And he got up there, and he opened his mouth. He opened his Bible, read his verses, and man, listen, he became as dumb, deaf, and dumb, and he didn't know what to say. He stuttered, mumbled, his mouth got dry. It felt like, as Brother Chuck said, when he led singing here, somebody threw a shovel full of dirt in his mouth. Amen. He couldn't say anything. He tried. He couldn't think of it. He had it all planned out. He had jokes. Nothing would work for him. And he finally just took his Bible, and he walked down. He hung his head. He slumped down in the seat with shame and embarrassment. They asked another young man who was next to preach. They said, would you go preach? And that young man, his heart was beating fast, and he was scared, and he was nervous. And he walked up, and the palms of his hands were sweaty, and he walked up, and he opened his Bible, and he started stuttering, and he started trying to read, and he was stumbling over his text, and he said to the people, he said, would you pray with me? And they bowed their heads, and he began to pray, and after he prayed and said amen, he began to try to read the text again, and the Spirit of God began to work in his heart, and boy, that young man preached, and after about 10 or 15 minutes, they was ringing the bell, time for him to stop, and boy, the fire of God had fallen on that young man. And the old preacher got up afterwards, he said, folks, he said, I hope you learned a lesson today. He said, had that one first young man, had he gone up the way he come down, he would have come down the way he went up. Amen. You see, humility, and that's what he learned. That's what young Patrick learned. And at about 16 or so years of age, God humbled him and he realized he was lost. This is a quote from Patrick. He said, before I was humbled, I was like a stone lying in a deep mire. And he that is mighty came in his great mercy and raised me and lifted me up on a wall. From there I shout in gratitude for his grace. Amen. For by grace are you saved. Listen to that. Hey, just like the ministry of the Apostle Paul, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He said, I was all of that. He said, but all that means nothing. He said, I was a sinner. He said, I was on my road all the way to Damascus with a writ in my hand, a holy writ of the leader to kill the Christians. He said, but God humbled me. And he looked up and he said, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? And that's the attitude that Patrick had. And later on he would quote it. He said, I am a debtor because I am God's debtor because he granted me so much grace. You know, anybody and everybody that serves God, I'm going to tell you why you'll serve God, because of God's grace and goodness.
Amen.
I've told you this before, and I'll say it until I'm 1,000 years old if I live that long. Amen? And I look forward to hearing it when I get to heaven someday. Because I've heard a lot of testimonies in my life, but I'll never forget that of my Boilermaker daddy that used to stand up back there in the church and during testimony time, and he would stand up. And with all honesty and sincerity, he would say, listen, he said, I thank God for his grace. He said, I thank God for his grace. To me, my dad's favorite song was Amazing Grace. Amen. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. My dad was saved at 27 years of age, and he'd already lived enough and run enough and been hard enough, but God humbled him, God saved him. But listen, he said, I thank God for his grace, he would say. And he said, if it wasn't for the grace of God, he said, I ought to have to catch an elevator going up just to make it to hell. And he was honest. That wasn't just a cute statement that he made.
That wasn't just a cute motto that he had. That was the best way he knew how to describe how low he was before God saved him and changed his life. I have someone walk up to my dad 5 months before he died. They'd walk up to him and say, "Boy, what a man you are." My dad became a great Christian, I believe. And they'd walk up to him and say, "What a great Christian you are." Dad said, "No, I'm not." He said, "I'm nothing." And he didn't just say that to be false humble. He just assumed you hit him with a board and tell him he was a good man. Because he knew there wasn't anything good about him. Whatever goodness is in him was because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Glory to God.
That's just the truth. I'm not making it up. I'm telling you the truth this morning. That's the attitude that God will use, that humble attitude of a sinner saved by grace that knows no count we are. But God is everything. Amen?
Amen.
I never forget, in a church one time, on a prayer meeting, a fellow walked in. He may have been a little drunk, and he walked in, and the church was all gathered around, and my dad was up there in the front, and that fellow stood up during prayer time, and he said, I got a question. And he said, whatever happened to the days, he said, when sinners used to come to church? Well, all the other people looked around like, well, has anybody got an answer? My dad looked at him, and he said, buddy, he said, what do you mean? He said, that's all it's here. And they all looked at my dad like he was nuts. You see, listen, hey, we've been saved by God's grace. I'm no longer, as our brother said, I'm not just a sinner. I'm a saved Christian. I'm a saint of God. I've been set apart from the world. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Thank God for His grace that lifted me from the miry clay and set my feet on the solid rock, and He put a new song in my heart, even praising to our God. And that's what Patrick was saying. He was amazed by the grace of Almighty God that burned in his heart to get the message of God's grace out to people. He had no idea what God was going to do with that. He finally escaped at about almost 10 years in slavery. He escaped. And when he escaped, he went back home to Scotland. His family there were so excited to see him. By this time, his family had come together and things had gotten better at home. And they thought he was dead. They heard rumors that maybe he was alive. And they were so excited that when he came home, they asked him, they said, would you just stay? Would you promise us you'll never leave again? And he started to make them that promise, but there was just a little thing burning on the inside, a little prompting of God. He said, I can't promise you that. He said, I promise you I'll never leave unless God causes me to leave. And he had no idea what was going on. But God was working. He said this. He said, I was again home. He said, they asked me never leave again. And he had not left apart from. He said, I had not ever left again apart from the urging of God. He said, I saw a man calling with innumerable letters and the voice of the Irish. And as all the voice, he said, it seemed like the Irish calling with one voice. He said, God allowed me to have a dream. And he said, and it was as if they were reading letters and they were saying, come again among us. They were saying, walk among us. They were saying, preach to us. They were saying this, that we need you. We want you to come and preach God's grace to us. And he said, the Spirit helps our weakness. He said, the Lord intercedes for us. He said, I began to pray, and God, what do you want me to do? And God, what would you have me to do? And God began to touch his heart and burn in his heart that he wanted to go back to Ireland and preach the gospel of grace to those Irish people. Boy, listen, and that was the work of God. They said this about Patrick Henry. They said, he said this, he said, more and more did the love of God increase. Till I found myself in the outdoors praying to God amidst all manner of weather. His love for God was so great, he wanted to walk with God. Well, listen, all the preaching about separation that we feel like we have to do, and preachers and Baptist popes stand up and say, don't do this, don't do this. Would to God they get enough sense to understand through desire a man having separated himself, seeking that he know the law of wisdom. We wouldn't have to lay down a bunch of laws and a bunch of edicts and preach, don't do this, and write long lists. If we just preach, hey, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. If we as Christians, brother, would realize once how wonderful it is to walk with him and to talk with him and to have him tell us that he's ours and where he is, we'd separate from the world.
Amen.
There's nothing this world has that's any better than fellowship with God Almighty. Amen. Nothing. Nothing. Amen.
Amen.
Nothing. Nothing better than to spend time with Jesus and to walk with him and to know that he's yours and you're his. Amen.
Amen.
Sweet fellowship to walk with him. He gave his life. He gave his life. He said, he who gives his life is he who speaks within me. He said, he who gave his life, for it is he who speaks within me, that I must bear witness to you. He told the people, he said, I'm here. He said, because the one that gave his life for you, he said, the Savior that died for you, he said, the Jesus that died for you, he said, he works in me. His Spirit works in me. Therefore, I must come to you and give my life to preach him to you. That's exactly what he did. He came to Ireland from Scotland in the year 405. Now, Catholic teaching and false teaching would tell you that he came in the year 432. That's a lie. I'll explain that to you later on. In the year 432, the Rome sent a bishop to England. And they said that the Rome sent that bishop to England and to Ireland to convert the Irish people to the church. I want you to understand that Patrick never came to convert anybody to the church. He never preached any church. He never preached any dogma. He only preached Christ and his redeeming grace. That's what saved him. The church didn't save him. And religion didn't save him. And rituals didn't save him. But God's grace saved him. He knew nothing of church doctrine. He only knew the gospel of grace. But in the year 432, Rome sent a bishop there. And he's credited as being Patrick, which is not true. Actually, I want to go ahead and tell you about him. He failed. He failed miserably. I had it in my notes here and lost it somewhere. The devil must stick it out, but I remember it anyway. Amen? This bishop came and he started going to the villages in Ireland, and he was going to, you know, he had his ritualism, and he had, you know, he was like a pope, amen. Well, that's pretty popular in our world today, the pope pre-pope, and that's going on right now. And listen, Catholicism, he was there to convert these poor Irishmen to the church so that they could institute St. Peter's tax on England. You see, and the Pope saw that this whole country of people were not tithing and enriching the Vatican, and he felt like that England was failing to do anything, so he sent a Pope there first of all to peaceably win the Irish people over to the church. But it didn't work. Because a few years before, God had sent his man there. And brother, listen, to believe the lie of Catholicism, you have to have never heard the truth of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And once you've heard the truth of Jesus Christ, you realize that that was not true what you've been hearing. Amen, brother. Your testimony, there's others here that could get the same testimony. They grew up under that. But thank God when the truth comes, you should know the truth, friend. Listen, and it's the truth that allows you to be free. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for the truth. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. I'm glad that, hey, you can knock me in the head with a ball bat, run over me with a semi-truck, drop a building on my head, friend, and you're not going to change the fact, I'm not boasting, you're not going to change the fact that I know my salvation is settled in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can't change that. I know years ago in Charleston, I go knock on doors, there's an old Mormon fella down there. His children, I would talk to him, his children had grown up and rejected everything he had taught them. Of course, it was not true. The lies of the church and the salvation, they turned away from it. He was brokenhearted then. He would talk. He said, I'd love to talk to you. And I said, I'd love to talk to you. I said, but I want you to know. I said, if you think you're going to convert me to what you believe, you can forget it. It'll never happen. I said, I would love to tell you about Jesus if you'd let me. He said, I don't want to hear. I said, well, I don't have anything to talk about. You see, this bishop came and he began to try to convert the people, but they wouldn't. This fella, this bishop, after a while, he got so discouraged. He was ashamed to go back to Rome. So the story, legend is that he went out as a poor man and said he died among the hogs. He gave up discouraged and defeated because the gospel had already been there before the lie came. So preacher, what can we do about America? We can just get the gospel out, amen?
Amen.
Then you get the gospel out. The gospel is more powerful than anything else. Hey, the gospel is more powerful than alcohol and drug addiction and pornography. Hey, there's no greater God. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not intimidated by Romanism. He said, I'm not intimidated by Judaism. He said, I'm not ashamed of the weapon of my warfare. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God.
Amen.
Not a power, the power of God and the salvation. Thank save sinners. He reached down. He'll reach way down. Is anybody he'll save? Amen.
Amen.
There's nowhere you'll find any real human instrumentality in the life of Patrick. It was a miracle of God that God saved the poor slave girl. In his lifetime, 60 years of ministry, God allowed him to start throughout Ireland, listen to this, 365 gospel preaching churches. Think about that. He had no one. I mean, he just in his lifetime, he gave his life to God and just set out on the course. In the course of his life, God allowed him to start 365 churches. That's just one life. No Bible college training, no home church, nothing like that, friend. Just one life given to God, and God used him because he was willing to live for God and give his life to God.
Amen.
You know that same God still lives today. Amen. 365 churches. After he died, and I don't have this, I had this in there too, it's gone. Devil ate. But listen, I remember it also. After he died, before he died, he started monasteries. Now, this is where Catholicism claims he was a bishop. These were not monasteries where men go to learn to be women. Amen.
Come on, man.
These were monasteries where men came apart from the world and learned the Word of God, and afterward got married. Amen, brother? And don't give up.
Amen.
And afterward they got married. They had their families, and these men, for 700 years, these monasteries, these school of the prophets, these Bible colleges continued to grow throughout Ireland. 365 churches in 60 years, but after those 60 years, 700 years later, God was still using the ministry of that man. No Bible college. No home church. No human instrumentality. Just God in one man's life. Think about that. He was this, I quickly tell you this. He was an ardent believer in God's grace. A most humble sinner saved by glorious salvation. A believer that eternal life was wholly in Christ Jesus. His converts would not accept the message of Rome. It was Palladius, the bishop that came, who quit and became discouraged because he could not turn the people. He preached the necessity of the new birth for the lost. He preached perseverance by the grace of God.
Amen.
He believed that he was going to persevere to heaven, not by his works, but by the grace of God.
Amen.
That's his own recorded prayers. He said, God, I lean on your grace to get me to heaven.
Amen.
That's the only way you'll get to heaven too. Amen.
Amen.
His work in training the gospel evangelists lasted, as I said, over 700 years. His life for God began as a slave. And let me just say this, that all our lives for God began as slaves. Let's not ever think any of us are any better. Before you were saved, you were a slave to sin. From the time you get to heaven, it's a life out of slavery and bondage. So we may as well just go ahead and let everybody know where we come from, where we're going, and who changed everything. Amen? That's how simple it is. Listen to that. I want to give you this and I'm done. In the year 1155, the Church of Rome had failed to convert Ireland to Catholicism through peaceable manners. I'd love to read to you I've got it up here. I'll give you a copy of the Jesuit Oath, which the new Pope had to take. You ought to learn a little bit about Jesuits, amen? I won't get into that right now, but the idea is to bring all the people together. Which if you'll read Revelation, you'll find a little something about that, amen?
Right.
You'll find that, boy, God, hey, you say, who picked the last pope? God did.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
That's kind of exciting if you know God, amen? Like that Bible teaches about it. You're going to see God do some things, amen? But listen to me. 1155 A.D., Pope Henry ordered an edict to the King of England. He said, go to Ireland. He said, turn the people to Catholicism. He didn't send a bishop. He sent an army to humble the people. All church leaders and pastors were forced to take up the banner of the church and lay down the banner of the cross, or else they die.
Yes.
And the majority of them by this time were weakened and weary, and they lay down the
battle. They laid down the banner of the cross, and they picked up the banner of the church. Pope Alexander, who came after Pope Henry III, Pope Alexander III declared success in his years as Pope in bringing Ireland under subservience to the Bishop of Rome. You see, he sent to England, the Pope said that they need to be under servitude of Catholicism. He said they need to adhere to pay Peter's tax. And so the people were brought under. And in the ensuing years, St. Patrick, the truth, was swallowed up by the lie of Catholicism. The Church of Rome redid the story, but this morning you heard the true story. How that God saves sinners, and God changes their lives.
Yes.
And how that, listen, practically speaking, God can do anything.
Amen.
With your life.
Right.
700 years, 365 plus churches from one life surrendered to God. Why shouldn't we do that? Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, help us this morning to realize the great importance of a life surrendered to God.
Yes.
To be a humble preacher of the gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Lord, be good this morning if someone would just say, not just what was on that envelope, but if someone would just say, Lord, you know what? Rather than putting down a number on a piece of paper, I'd like to put down my life on an altar of wood. God, I'd like to lay my heart open before you and give my life to you this morning. God, use me as you use Patrick. God, you don't have to do anything great in my life, but God, whatever you do would be great. God, just use me. Make me what you'd have me to be. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you stand? You know, we're willing to speak for everybody but Jesus. Why wouldn't this morning someone say, God, give me boldness, and God, I want to be willing to speak for Jesus wherever I go until I die. I want to speak for Him. Would you come this morning if that's you? God spoke to your heart. Why don't you just come? Nobody's asking you to go to Ireland. It's asking you to go to God and say, God, I'll go wherever and I'll say whatever and I'll do whatever you want me to do. At Sister Echo Plays, why don't you pray? Say, God, use my life. What greater way can you give your life than to give your life to Jesus? To let Him use your life. To let Him have all, have everything. All to Jesus. Let's give Him everything.